This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We are getting new details about a possible 9/11 style commission that would scrutinize the administration's response to the coronavirus outbreak.
Who the hell's behind this?
Congressman Adam Schiff.
I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
He announced this morning that this is an idea that he has.
I have an idea.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Like, why did DeSantis do what he did? Why did Georgia wait so long? It's because they were listening to President Trump. They were watching Fox News. They were listening to Rush Limbaugh. And they were following conservatives on Twitter or social media.
And how do you explain this?
We cannot shut down because of undue fear. We're better off not closing larger events. You don't get this disease by walking into an arena where someone else in that arena has.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I've had a fever. You've had a fever. But 102, 103, 103 plus. And it was like somebody was beating me like a pinata.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
It was one of the, I'm telling you, I was hallucinating. My dad was talking to me.
I see dead people.
You're on what? You're on day two?
You came to me in a dream. You had on a very interesting ballet outfit, and you were waving a wand, and then you spun around and you danced away.
Well, that's there's a lot of metaphoric reality in that one.
Your family is strange.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Can you explain why you're still in the race
and what this path is that you see? Last I heard, people in a democracy have a right to vote for the agenda that they think can work for America.
They don't like you. I don't like you.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Good afternoon. My name is Carr, not Cuomo, and we won't be discussing my dreams, my fever dreams this afternoon, nor any other afternoon. Not my style. And I know how to pronounce Rush Limbaugh's name.
I feel like your dreams would involve a lot of tartar sauce, maybe a pug.
I know. I am concerned about the people that aren't making any money. 6.6 million filed for unemployment this week, 3.2 million last week. That's 10 million people. I know people are hurting for money. Just got another text. Uber Jason says, I'm dying out here. He's an Uber driver. He says, if you ever need to hire someone to shuttle one of the Bentleys from Florida, just let me know. I could use the money. Well, maybe Gunnar is going to recover the pug, and you can ferry the pug down here to Florida for us from Massachusetts. He's doing better. But anyway, it's a tough time, and we're trying to get through it as best we can, and we have a lot planned here today. And someone texted me earlier today and said, can you let Grace talk a little bit this segment, Howie, because she brings a ray of sunlight and hope to the show that you don't.
And you said, that's not my style.
I had a dream the other night that nobody was going to attack me on my text line or on the chump line. But, hey, go ahead. Anyway.
We will get through this, guys. It's going to be a tough month. Everybody knows it. But we're going to keep bringing you the news and stay positive. And I'm going to stay positive with a little bit of surprising news, Howie. Cruise bookings are on the rise for 2021.
You're kidding.
I'm not. This is from the New York Post, so you know it's legit. Now, here's the deal. They do think a good amount of these rebooks are just people who have vouchers now, who they couldn't give refunds to, so they're rebooking in hopes that, you know, it will work out. But they did say that the booking volume for 2021 has gone up 9% in the last 30 days versus this same time last year. So I don't know. I mean, I thought no one was going to go towards a cruise again, but I'm happy that they're giving cruises a second chance.
Meanwhile, they're allowing two of these infected cruise ships to land, I think, in Miami. That's good news, right?
I've never been a cruise kind of girl. I get very, very seasick and nauseous.
I predict a lot of people are getting cruises for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be priced to move, Taylor. You know, it's either a $25 Dunkin' Donuts gift certificate or a 3-week cruise.
These people that have vouchers, they don't want to go, so they're just going to send the loved ones that they don't really hold too dear away
re-gifting
on a cruise. Yes.
I mean, if I had a ticket for a cruise, I would definitely use it, I think.
I'd re-gift.
I would try hard to get my money back. Howie, it's weird you should bring up Dunkin' Donuts, because that brings me to my tweet of the day.
Do we have some sound effects for that?
Tweet. So, this tweet combines all sorts of my favorite things, and it's very good news. I don't know, Howie, if you ever go to Dunkin' Donuts in Florida.
Yes, up on the Dixie Highway.
But they are extending their free Donut Friday program. They had it during March, and now they just feel as though it's not a good time to take it away from people. Personally, I agree, because today I was like, oh, you know what? I really want a donut, but I'll wait till tomorrow for free Donut Friday. And then I thought, oh, it's April. They're not going to do it anymore. Then this tweet pops up, and Taylor, didn't I have a burst of excitement?
And a donut.
And yes, I was thrilled. So that's good news for everybody. And more good news, MSNBC treads water during jam-packed news quarter, fails to add viewers.
You're kidding. I mean, if it were ESPN, I could get it, right? Because who's watching ESPN? But how can a news station lose viewers at this time?
Well, this is for the first quarter of 2020, so I'm not sure if it's really going to... If the coronavirus stuff is tacked on. But according to this article, and full disclosure, it's published by Fox News. It says the first quarter of 2020 was filled to the brim with news, from impeachment of President Trump and the contentious Democratic primary to the growing coronavirus pandemic. But MSNBC failed to add viewers, and experts say that's a serious issue for the far left network. This should concern the MSNBC hierarchy. A professor and media critic, Jeffrey McCall, told Fox News. Fox News grew 38% among total viewers, and CNN grew 26%. Well,
it was that dynamic programming with the Cuomo brothers talking about their dreams.
Can we just say, I mean, I think everyone is sick of the Cuomo brothers, but my dad texted me today and he said, for all the people who claim that Trump is this massive narcissist, and let's not kid ourselves, Trump is a big fan of Trump. But what do they say about the Cuomos? Like, the world is supposedly ending, and these two can't get enough of each other's shtick. Like, they think they're so funny. And Mom told me that your sauce ain't no good, and you don't make the meatballs like Dad taught us to. I'm cringing. I have such secondhand embarrassment. I wish they would stop.
Grace is trying to put together something, a package with me and Taylor and everybody and the mailroom manager, saying, what do you want to see? Old movies, for instance. You know, you're stuck at home and there's not really much to watch on TV if you don't want to watch the plague. There's no sports. And, you know, Grace, I was thinking about what I'm going to put in mine. And, you know, the last thing I would ever want to watch again would be Smothers Brothers reruns, talking about how Mom loved you best.
Yeah, because you have PTSD.
That's what the Cuomos are doing. They're doing Smothers Brothers, only not as funny.
And the scary thing is how little it takes to entertain the TDS people, because they're all like, this is what America needs right now. This is hilarious. Are you guys loving this? Andrew Cuomo's so cute. I'm like, y'all, you guys need to get a grip. Because you're clearly cracking from this coronavirus stuff if you think these two are entertaining and charismatic. They're not. But if I had to choose one or the other, I would choose Andrew Cuomo. I cannot stand Chris
Cuomo. I think they're funnier than Jimmy Fallon.
No, I think Jimmy Fallon's okay. He's not that bad. Anyway, though, I also want to give a major kudos to Bob Kraft. I know you mentioned this, Howie, I think yesterday. But many people took to social media today to praise the New England Patriots owner. What's interesting is this article is actually in the Boston Globe, and all they're really known for is trying to get Bob Kraft's sex tape.
Right. Yeah, from Jupiter, from the Orchids of Asia massage parlor. And they were going after Bob Kraft big time because the Boston Globe also owns the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox are very bitter, obviously, that they've been displaced or were displaced. I don't know what the situation is now. They're both kind of also-ran teams. But they were displaced in the hearts of New England by the Patriots. The Red Sox lost their
I wonder. I can't imagine why the Red Sox were bested by gorgeous Tom Brady and his amazing victories and just the dynamic football players. I have no idea why people didn't want to watch 15 hours of baseball a night with cheaters. Cheating, cheating, cheating. I'm shocked. But anyway, congrats to Bob Kraft for sending the plane over. He picked up 1.2 million masks from China, and also how Boston hospitals are getting, you know, those machines Trump was talking about the other day. They're game-changing machines that can
the ventilators. I think
they can sterilize 80,000 protective masks
a
day.
Oh, this is the other. Yeah, this is the other thing. Yeah,
which is huge because then you don't you can clean them and get a few more wears out of them, which is really helpful to the hospitals. So Boston's getting one of those machines. And that's really cool. Howie, when we get back, I have more news, including that highly Trump-touted coronavirus drug, the anti-malaria drug. There's more news on that. And I also want to let people know that this new segment is brought to you by Boomer Naturals. A lot of people have heard of CBD, and it has amazing effects. But I'm one of these people. I'm not crazy about cannabis and getting into all that. It kind of freaks me out. So what's better is this is CB5. It has all of the great attributes of CBD, but without the cannabis element. And so you can try it. It has a lot of good plant extract. You'll feel good. It'll boost your immune system. Go to HowieKarsher.com. Click on the big Boomer Naturals banner. But then, Howie, I want to remind people, once you click on the banner, make sure you enter code word Howie to get all the special deals they're offering. You have to enter code word Howie because this is just for our listeners. So HowieKarsher.com, click on the banner, and then don't forget the code word Howie.
You know what I love about these anti-malarial drugs is when the all these doctors from all over the place, all different specialties, disciplines, Republicans, Democrats, they're all saying that these drugs seem to be working, these anti-malarial drugs. And all the TDS analysts on the network, this is just anecdotal.
Well, how?
So what if it worked for 50 people? You know, if I'm sick with this thing and someone tells me it's anecdotal, but it's worked for 50 people, I say, I want to be number 51.
No, you
right?
say, I want to be part of that anecdote. I want that to be my bedtime story tonight. Give me a prescription for that. No, but Howie, it is amazing because we always say, how far will the TDS people go? What can we make them hate? And also, what can we make them love? They love, you know, terrorists like Baghdadi. They love China now. They're so deranged that they love everything. Anything opposite of what Trump does. So now, because they attribute this medication with Donald Trump, now they're going to start pushing away effective medicine. This is where we're at. It's insane. And actually, how the story I'm going to read when we get back is about the Michigan governor who banned it, and now she's coming back around saying, well, maybe we should have this medicine.
Gretchen Whitmer, or as President Trump calls her, Half Whitmer.
A great nickname, and I couldn't agree more.
I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Coronavirus sent the markets into a tailspin. Who knows what the future holds? In a time when nothing is certain, do what I do. Trust Orion Metals Exchange. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligations investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. Call them today at 1-800-912-2300. You'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which are you more concerned about, getting the virus or losing your job?
Losing my job.
48% say losing their job is of more concern.
We'll have John Heinderacker talking about this in the next segment from powerlineblog.com. He has a good column about it today.
Also, Grace. Howie, people are asking me what you were referring to with that post and where they could find it. The post is not up yet. I'm writing a post about all of the Howie Carr Show team's favorite shows and movies and things that you're watching at home, because people are getting very sick of pandemic coverage. I mean, it's something that's necessary to watch sometimes, but after a while, it doesn't do anyone good to sit at your house and get scared.
I don't need to see the ticker on how many worldwide cases there are, like it's the stock market on a good or a bad day. I don't need that.
I agree. And so a lot of my coworkers, including the mailroom manager and Taylor, have sent in their picks. The only one I'm waiting on, for everyone who's saying, well, why isn't it up yet? The only one I'm waiting on is Howie Carr. And he claims that he has a few jobs, so he might be busy or might take him longer. But I think it's because he doesn't have any good picks.
You'll have it tonight. You'll have it tonight, Grace.
Howie, I said three picks, though, so you cannot just put Boston Blackie three times. It has to be three different programs.
You know, Boston Blackie made movies, too. So it could be three
only
different Boston
one
Blackie movies.
Boston Blackie only counts for one.
I was just going to say any of the B movie series from the 30s and 40s into the 50s, any of them, like the Boston Blackie, The Saint, The Falcon, Bowery Boys.
Okay, I'll have to do some Googling because I've never heard of most of those. But
nobody's going to take up Howie on his recommendations.
Well, that's their loss, isn't it?
So Michigan reverses course on Trump-touted coronavirus drugs. We teased this earlier in my segment. Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, or as Trump calls her, Howie.
Half Whitmer.
Her administration has requested an emergency supply of the drugs President Trump touted as having success treating patients with severe symptoms of the novel coronavirus.
You got to remember, too, folks, this is a woman who a week ago sent out an official state memo to all physicians and pharmacists in Michigan, warning them of professional consequences. That was her phrase, professional consequences, if they prescribe this drug for anybody other than malaria patients.
And Howie, you know what I've noticed, and I shouldn't be surprised, but it does disgust me a little bit, is every day I wake up and I Google coronavirus and I just want to see the headlines. I'm disgusted at the thirst for negativity in the world today, especially just because they think it's going to reflect badly on Trump. I don't mind getting the information and I'm taking it very seriously, but some of the headlines are just downright awful. Like the New York Times had a headline yesterday that said something, the U.S. is not winning the war against coronavirus. Or, you know, all the Boston Globe stuff is a president unfit for a pandemic. It's like, what about rallying behind the leader of the free world when something like this happens? Where is that
again,
spirit?
How about the press conferences every night? Did you hear that guy last night? It didn't get much play, but he was angry because Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, refused to prohibit church services. He was angry and he was yelling at the president of the United States about something that the governor of Florida did.
I don't think they understand the federal and state situations. It seems like a lot of people aren't getting that. I'm also confused how
I was wondering too would this reporter have been angry if DeSantis had said mosques can continue to have their religious gatherings. Some tells me he wouldn't have been.
He would have
kept his mouth shut totally about it.
And as far as Andrew Cuomo goes, I'm confused why Andrew Cuomo is being hailed as this saint figure for his handling of New York when New York has the most cases, and yet Donald Trump is to blame for New York. It doesn't make sense to me. The governor's not to blame, but the president's to blame.
Can you imagine if Trump were the governor of a state and it turns out that he had stashed all these ventilators or respirators in a neighboring state and didn't know about it? Cuomo gets a pass. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're going to try to get John Heinderacker on. He wrote a column today. Are people catching on? And I think an alternative title could have been The Natives Are Getting Restless. And he uses as his hook a Rasmussen poll 59% of all voters are concerned that the government's cure for the coronavirus threat may be worse than the problem, with 32% who are very concerned. And John Heineracker from PowerlineBlog.com says count him among the 32% who are very concerned. I would also be in that category. John Heineracker, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, glad to do it, Howie.
I said an alternative headline for your column today would be the natives are getting restless. I think they are, aren't they?
Well, I hope so, Howie. I mean, it's unbelievable. 10 million unemployment claims in the last 2 weeks. I mean, you know, this is one of the things that really bothers me about this, Howie. You know, my wife pointed this out to me. You know, she goes to the neighborhood mall, and there's these little stores, all small businesses, clothing store, nutritional supplements, sporting goods store. They're all closed, and their owners are, you know, are likely to be going broke, likely
right.
to be going out of business. Now, across the parking lot, there's a Target store, and it's open because it's essential, and the parking lot is jammed, and people are streaming in and out of the Target store, and they sell clothes, they sell sporting goods, they sell nutritional supplements. You know, it is the small businesses and the employees of the small businesses that are getting crushed, and I hope they're getting restless.
Yeah, and how about, you know, you have, I talk about this all the time in Massachusetts. You have all the small businesses, the people are who work for them and who run them, they're at home and they're biting their fingernails and they're sweating it out and they're wondering what they're going to do. And the people who live next door to them that have jobs working for these state bureaucracies are on vacation. They're getting paid to do nothing. It really is
that's
a tale
exactly
of two Americas.
It's absolutely right. And of course, the definition of who's essential, is ironic. So, for example, the liquor stores are essential, right? Because they know there'd be rioting in the streets if they closed them. So those, you know, they're still open. Those employees are working. The press, Howie, the press is essential. And what that means is that all of America's sports writers are going to the office. They're all getting paid. They're all working because they're essential, even though there are no sports to write about.
Right.
The sports are all shut down. You know, so, I mean, the craziness just gets compounded every day.
Well, you know, the thing is, I love, too, that, you know, you point out that this thing, only 36% of likely U.S. voters think the U.S. can afford to remain largely shut down for an indefinite period of time. I mean, this is an example of the dumbing down of America, that a third of the respondents think that this can go on indefinitely.
Exactly. I don't know where they think the money comes from. I don't know where they think the wealth comes from. But one of the things that bothers me about this deal, Howie, on top of everything else, is the federal government stands ready now to pass out $2 trillion. And a lot of people, I think, have the impression that the money's there. The government's got plenty of money, right? Why have they been holding out on me? Why the government should give me money every year?
Well, that's what AOC is. That's what AOC is saying. You know, AOC is saying, well, they always make such a big deal how there's not enough money and we can't afford this. Well, now we're in this situation and we can't afford it. No, AOC, we can't afford it. That's the problem. And I don't, is AOC, she majored in economics, supposedly, at BU. I mean, did she ever study inflation and its son, hyperinflation?
Yeah, well, she's the one that mixed up John Maynard Keynes and Milton Friedman, so I hope she was not an economics major, Howie.
Yeah, this is really bad, though. And you know, the other thing, too, is, I don't know if you've noticed this, the last couple of days we've been getting lectures on how unserious and frivolous we are if we want the economy reopened. And we're getting this lecture from, among others, Bill Gates and Larry David.
Easy
for them to say, isn't it?
The unemployed people who want to go back to work. And you know how but this is an important point, too, because as you say, there's all kinds of people who say, all you care about is money. All you care about is the economy. People's lives are at stake. Well, when the economy craters like this, that impacts hundreds of millions of people's lives. When you say the economy, but that's short for millions and millions of people's lives that are being devastated. Savings are being devastated. Businesses are being devastated. This is a huge human toll.
Yeah. Well, look at during the Obama years, the average life expectancy of Americans for the first time in memory was going down because people were depressed. The economy was in a malaise. People were getting into drugs, alcohol. And the last couple of years, with the economy coming back, fewer and fewer people on food stamps, people were even leaving SSDI, which nobody ever thought would happen, or SSI. And the life right. expectancy was going up again. And
yeah, that's right. Homicide rate dropping after rising at the end of the Obama years. You know, there's a lot of social science research, Howie. This is really quite robust, that shows that increasing wealth means longer life and fewer deaths. If people get poorer, they're more likely to die. And it's not just at the poverty level. It's not just extreme poverty. But all the way up the line, the research indicates that when you have more wealth, people live longer, they're less likely to die. So, you know, when you devastate the economy, people do, in fact, die.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to take a while for the economy to come back, too. I don't think they understand that either. You know, I mean, this is going to have at least a midterm impact, I think, on the situation. 844-500-4242. This is a bad situation. You know, in Massachusetts, they're talking. I bet in Minnesota too, they're talking about letting the jails open up the doors and let out all these inmates.
It's unbelievable. I don't understand that. I just don't understand it. It's like in Baltimore, they put out a plea for people, for murderers to stop committing homicides, you know, so they wouldn't fill up right. the hospital beds or whatever, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable to me.
So if you're a law-abiding citizen, John, explain this to me. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you have to stay indoors and self-quarantine to prevent being exposed to the virus. And if you leave your house, you're going to get a citation, if not an actual arrest. However, if you are self-quarantined in a jail cell and all by yourself and can't be exposed to anybody, you are going to be let go, even though you're a criminal. Because you have to be let out to avoid the virus. But if you're a law-abiding citizen, you have to be locked up
to avoid the virus. One thing about a jail, Howie, the contact tracing becomes very easy.
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody tests positive, you know exactly who's been exposed to it because they're right there in front of you.
Yeah, and you know the thing is too that people are buying more guns. So is this going to lead to more public confidence in the society if you release all these prisoners out onto the streets? I mean, there was not just a record number of people filing for unemployment. There was a record number of people filing to buy guns in the last month.
Apparently, I forget the statistic. I think it was last week was like the biggest week in history for gun sales, and it's easy to see why. You know, when people feel insecure and they feel the authorities are losing control, they start thinking about self-defense.
Yeah, they do. I'll ask you, since I got you on the line, you're a lawyer and all this. Have you been following these reports by the Inspector General of the Justice Department? Now they're saying that the FISA, 100% of the FISA warrant applications to spy on Americans, and that they go before the secret court. The people who are going to be spied on have no recourse. They're not represented by counsel. They don't get to introduce opposing evidence. 100% of the applications by the FBI were defective or totally fabricated.
You know, Howie, this is really interesting to me. This is why we have an adversarial legal system. This is why adverse parties get to be represented, they get to be heard, they get to have information about what's going on. When you turn a bunch of lawyers loose behind the scenes and you say you get to put a bunch of stuff in a document, but there's no other side. You know, you're going to spy on somebody, but he doesn't even know you're doing it. He doesn't get to see it. He doesn't get to respond to it. He doesn't get to tell his side of the story. This is what happens. You know, you're inevitably going to get this kind of abuse.
I know. And it's just, and it's like, and the response from the mainstream media, the New York Times specifically, is, well, the good news here is that it proves the FBI wasn't out to just get the Trump people. They're out to get everybody.
They always do it.
They're violating everybody in America's civil rights.
I know. It's the New York Times defense of the FBI. It's kind of like if the New York Times said that. By the way, they could say this. We're not intentionally getting stories wrong just to attack President Trump. We get most of our stories wrong. What a great argument.
I know. I'm like Joe DiGenova, though. I mean, Trump's got to get reelected for this alone, to just clean up this mess. This is really dangerous to have the deep state running amok like this.
Well, you know, they've never accepted his election. They went into opposition mode, resistance mode. They've been that way for 3 years. They're just waiting for him to lose in 2020, and they're just going to pop right back up. And it's going to be business as usual. I couldn't agree more, Howie. It's vitally important that Trump get reelected.
Yeah, and that's why they're now so negative, and they're coming down on him so hard, because this is the latest way to get rid of Trump, they think.
That's what they care about. They are gleeful about statistics. You know, when they say, "Oh, it's a rising death toll," they are gleeful about that. Do you remember when there was the false report that America had passed China as having the largest number of cases?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Blue check Twitter lit up with delight. They were so happy about it. Of course, it was a ridiculous report. China just stopped counting, you know, is what happened. But it shows what they really care about, and that's power.
Yeah, I know. We can't play enough of the sound bites of de Blasio and Nancy Pelosi telling people to get out and go to Chinatown, go to the movies,
right,
go to the ball games. President Trump is a xenophobe for even raising the question of coronavirus, and now he's the world's worst human being. They're going to have a Warren Commission, investigation of him. Adam Schiff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When he blocked incoming flights from China, what were they doing? They were impeaching him. You know,
yeah,
that's what every newspaper story was about. That was what every Democrat was obsessed with.
All right. John Heinderacker from powerlineblog.com, one of my favorite websites. The natives are getting restless, and you and I are two of the natives. And I we're not the only ones. Thanks for being with us.
I hope not, Howie.
Thanks, John. That's John Heinderacker. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
You know, Howie, it's amazing to me that the New York Times can blame Trump and say that China is not to blame. And it's amazing to me that all these publications and news broadcasts can go out there and totally out and out lie and blame us when this virus came from China. And by the way, there's another one that just popped up that may be heading here too. And yet he gets on TV, and this was really ticked me off with his conference last night. He says, "I was on the phone with President Xi last night. We had a wonderful conversation. We talked about this and that and trade." And I said, "How can this guy be your friend, Mr. Trump? How can that president of China friend of ours?"
He's trying to be presidential sometimes, Arthur. He has to do that. You know, what can he say? I mean, he has to do business with the guy.
No, he doesn't have to. If we continue to do business with China, this is going to keep happening over and over again. It's time we stop doing business in China and let them go back to be the isolated communist country they were before Nixon went there.
Well, you know, I think a texter said this earlier today, Arthur, that he's concerned about that this is going to be the new normal. You know, that every time there's one of these flu-like viruses comes in, are we going to shut down the country? I mean, again, polio was a terrible, terrible disease. It killed little kids, crippled little kids. And the country was never shut down before Jonas Salk invented the vaccine. Spanish flu. I mean, Spanish flu started during World War I. And Woodrow Wilson, the president, the number one, the only priority of the United States was defeating the Kaiser, the Hun, the Germans. They didn't shut down the country. The country's never been shut down for anything like this. And the death toll is still under what it was for the swine flu. I mean, maybe it's going to increase as time goes on and outstrip the swine flu, but it's not. It hasn't yet. I don't even remember the swine flu. Do you?
No, I don't, to be honest with you, because it had the word flu in it, and we have flus every year, and the country was never shut down. Everybody said, you know what, wash your hands, and if you're sick, don't go into the office, and people didn't go into the office.
Right.
Common sense was applied. But you know what's interesting about this? We didn't go after, you know, every time there's an epidemic or something like this, we go and try to find the source of it. This time we knew the source was from China, and why we didn't go and go after all the people who traveled to China after we shut it down to find out where they went, who they talk. That's what they do whenever there's any kind of an outbreak. They go to try to find the source and who those people came in contact.
Well, you know, Arthur, when I
is letting people come in.
Arthur, when they come up with a vaccine, I just want to see everybody get the vaccine. And, you know, all the people that are running around going crazy and wearing masks in the grocery store and making runs on toilet paper, are they just going to forget it now and then just not get the vaccine? Because so many people already don't get the flu vaccine. I get it every year because I don't want to miss time. I don't want to get sick. Everybody I know gets most people I know get the flu vaccine. Thanks for the call, Arthur. Ann, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, hi, Howie. So I've been spending my enforced lockdown by writing to the White House, emailing the White House a few times a week. I'll probably get Secret Service knocking at my door. But just to give the president sort of the Jane on the street, taxpayer on the street perspective, but one thing that I wrote to him today was he really needs to get ahead of this and talk to the 10 million and probably even 20 or 30 million people that are out of work, unemployed from the private sector, and tell them that he is going to furlough federal government workers, because we are all looking at the federal government. We're looking at our municipal government and the state government. And, and our tax dollars are going to pay these people when they're not every non-essential. If they can say that a hardworking small business owner is non-essential, then I say the person that's working in the dog licensing part of the municipality is non-essential.
They're not accepting nomination signatures. You need a certain number of signatures to get on the ballot in the state of Massachusetts, and the politicians can't get on there because all the town halls are shut down. But everybody in the town halls is being paid, but the people that work in the malls are laid off.